Welcome to the Friday Five, a series in which we cover five stories in health and science research over the previous week that you may have missed. There are plenty of controversies and ethical issues in science, and we get into many of them in our online magazine. But there are also lots of stories to be excited about, and this news roundup is focused on scientific work to give you a therapeutic dose of inspiration headed into the weekend. First up in the Friday Five, healthy aging may be more than meets the eye, according to a research team from Buck Institute, Google Health, and Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. In their new paper, published in eLife, they report that scans of people's retinas reveal important information about the aging process. This eye test, which they call eye age, may be a helpful addition to other aging clocks, because the eye doesn't change as much as other biomarkers of healthy aging that go up and down based on a person's diet, whether they've got a cold, and other factors. The eye is so meaningful because the smallest changes related to aging are first apparent in the body's tiniest blood vessels, and some of the smallest ones are located in the eye. This isn't the first time the eye has been shown to be a major source of clues about health and age-related diseases. Previous research pointed to changes in the eye that show up with progression of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and early symptoms of AIDS. Now, just by looking at someone's eyes won't tell you if they've got underlying issues. The eyes may be the windows to the soul, but for them to be windows to biological aging, you'll need artificial intelligence. Google has used AI to analyze retinal images to spot over 36 different kinds of eye diseases, and they applied the same approach to developing eye age. Researchers think it could be less expensive than other clocks, although they foresee that eye age will be used in addition to, not instead of, these other clocks. The team also ran a genome-wide association study to identify almost 30 genes associated with both visual problems and age-related diseases, such as cardiovascular disease and hearing loss. Changing one gene in particular was shown, albeit in flies, to correct vision problems and made the flies live longer. Next up in the Friday Five, when it comes to foods that keep the body in optimal shape for disease prevention, beans might be the most neglected and underrated source of nutrition out there, as they're high in protein, fiber, and iron. There's plenty of research on the pluses of eating pulses, the food group to which beans belong. One study followed about 10,000 people for nearly 20 years and found that those who eat legumes 4 times per week or more cut their risk of heart disease by 22%. Beans are also a pretty sustainable choice. Farming the fava bean, for example, doesn't require any fertilizer. Now, a research team has made a breakthrough that could lead to even better nutrition and production. They've managed to sequence the fava bean genome, as reported recently in Nature. Beans may seem simple enough, but their genomes actually have 13 billion bases compared to our own genome with about 4 billion bases. The team from the universities of Reading, Helsinki, and Aarhus in the UK, Finland, and Denmark, respectively, has already used the genome to pick out the specific genes that control various traits, such as the ones that control the size of the bean's seeds, which could result in new strategies for larger yields. Given the success, they're now looking for genes that could be changed to reduce the fava bean's anti-nutrients that would increase our body's ability to absorb even more nutrients from these beans. The enhanced nutrition and sustainability are foreseen to contribute to a University of Reading project aimed at packing the nutrition of fava bean flour into British white loaf, which is as popular in the UK as it is empty in calories. Actually, beans in the UK are mostly used for animal feed, and America is known for overlooking bean benefits as well, with individuals in the US downing less than 12 pounds per year, while cramming in 55 pounds of beef on average. The University of Reading project is part of a publicly funded initiative to make use of new tools for breeding foods that benefit people and the planet. Next up, this podcast has featured several studies on various breathing exercises that may be linked to better health, including sessions that raise heart rate variability, the tiny changes in the length of intervals between heartbeats that are associated with good health. Now, a team from USC has published work in Scientific Reports showing that practicing HRV biofeedback, or breathing sessions while monitoring HRV through a sensor and an app, seems to result in fewer proteins linked to Alzheimer's disease. These results held up in people of different ages, including younger ones. The researchers split up 108 participants, asking half of them to do HRV biofeedback, which increases HRV, and the other half breathing in a way that decreases HRV every day for 7 weeks. In the group that breathed to increase HRV, the scientists saw a notable decline in the amount of tau proteins, T telltale signs of Alzheimer's showing up in their blood plasma, and people who focused on decreasing their HRV had their tau levels go up. It's known that as people get older, the balance of their nervous system shifts away from the parasympathetic branch, which helps people recover from stress, and it shifts toward the sympathetic activity related to lower HRV as the risk of Alzheimer's increases. But given the effect that HRV breathing had on younger people, the research suggests that HRV breathing could keep tau levels in check from early adulthood onward. The researchers believe this is the first study to show evidence that a behavior change can reduce tau levels compared to a control group. And doing this type of breathing doesn't cost much money and entails no risk, and it could improve your mood. The study found that older people with lower tau levels after the breathing sessions had more positive affect. Future research will focus on exactly how HRV breathing has this effect, whether it stops the brain from producing these proteins or helps clear them away. I'll put the link to our previous episode on how to do HRV breathing in the show notes. Speaking of tech and the heart, researchers at Cedars-Sinai recently studied who's better at determining how well a patient's heart is working, a person trained at reading an echocardiogram or an AI. In their experiment, written up and published in Nature, the research team compared whether a cardiologist agreed with the AI or a trained human, called a sonographer, when it came to reading almost 3,500 echocardiograms. The cardiologists made corrections to just 18% of the AI's assessments, while they had to fix 27% of the human assessments. As another sign of the AI's usefulness, the cardiologists weren't able to tell who had done the assessments, the AI or the human sonographer. The study builds on previous work out of Stanford in 2020, finding that AI could diagnose a key measure of cardiac function called left ventricular ejection fraction. This AI tool won't replace cardiologists, but researchers think the study points strongly to the need for hospital systems to rapidly embrace AI for this purpose, because it could increase accuracy as well as saving crucial time for overworked clinicians. And they think the study provides important evidence of the need for the FDA to approve such AI tools for clinical use. Last up in the Friday Five, there's a lot of money in finding new drugs for healthcare, and not nearly as much money for getting people to visit a state park. But researchers from the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia, think that nature prescriptions could play an important role in disease management and prevention. On Tuesday, they published a paper in The Lancet Planetary Health, in which they found that people who spend time in nature, especially among trees, had lower blood pressure, anxiety, and depression compared to people who spend little or no time in nature. Perhaps not surprisingly, the nature lovers also walked more, reaping the benefits of exercise, and they probably also socialized more with their partners in nature tripping. The new paper is based on an analysis of the findings of 28 previous studies on nature's effects. Importantly, tree bathing and other forms of enjoying nature may be just as important for how they let people escape the harms that are found in cities, with more toxins in the air, noise pollution, and crime, among other stressors. A previous study by the same researchers found that people who live in places with significantly more trees are in better health, which led officials in Sydney to invest $3.25 million to increase tree canopies across the city by 2050. The UK and Canada are leaders in dedicating funding to support nature prescriptions, and the US does have some programs for this purpose as well. So you're probably wondering by now, what is a nature prescription exactly? The parameters are still a bit murky, but it's generally understood to be a physician providing a written recommendation for a patient to spend time in nature, and could include guidance on how and where to find it, and support for transportation costs for patients in cities to make the trip out to visit nature. Low-income communities frequently have little access to nature, which may contribute to higher incidence of chronic disease. As always, you can find links to each study I've discussed this week in the show notes. And please check out the Leaps.org magazine online, where you can learn about the latest and most important challenges and developments in science, such as this week, an article on new research showing how the people you interact with could change your microbiome. Overall, the Leaps.org platform looks at innovations through the lens of rational optimism. You can find out what to be concerned about, but we also tell you which scientific breakthroughs are giving reason for excitement. Thanks for listening to the Friday Five, and have a great weekend.